Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, we're back again. Shall we talk? Stop talking in here and having a party?
We're having fun.
Oh, that's true.
Join the audience.
However, we are starting hour two of the El Paso History Show with El Paso History Moment. And it's produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her history moment today is whether it cost an arm or a leg. You like this already, huh?
Ah, you hit around me on that one, didn't you?
Whether or not it cost an arm or a leg for Mexican President Santayana when the Gadsden land purchase happened.
Land deal for the ages. In 1848, the war between U.S. and Mexico ends when the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo is signed. A few years later, the Gadsden Purchase becomes a reality, and the U.S. pays then-Mexican Presidente Santa Anna $15 million, or $42 million in today's money, for just enough Mexican territory to clear a southern route to the Pacific Ocean, therefore opening a year-round passage to the west and seaports on the California coast, guaranteeing unlimited economic opportunities for the southwest. Unfortunately for Santa Anna, the Gadsden Purchase was so unpopular in Mexico that he was removed from office for the 11th and final time and exiled to Cuba. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
There's a lot of people didn't think he made a very good deal at all.
No, and you know, well,
he did lose a leg, but that wasn't on this deal.
No, he did.
It wasn't an arm, it was a leg.
That's right, and it ended up in Chicago for quite a while.
And
go figure that one out.
He got exiled to Cuba, and the leg went to Chicago.
Well, yeah, I don't think he so much got exiled as much as he took off. I think Mexico wanted to do something to him, so he's like, I think Cuba sounds like a really
nice tropical vacation.
He
was president like a half a dozen times or more than that.
Yeah, I mean, how long did it take him to figure out? I mean, he spent most of that money on uniforms for the troops and parties.
The question is, how long
senoritas?
Did it take Mexico to figure him out?
Well,
and they finally got rid of him after he sold it to that guy Polk.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of
land. Who was that Polk?
Yeah, who was
any relation?
That guy?
Huh?
Actually, yes. But
No.
It was a cousin. It's on the tree. Whatever. But that's what you do for the El Paso History Alliance, right?
Yes, I do. I do that for the El Paso History Alliance, which is always out there, you know, trying to do things for El Paso's history, trying to save history and keep preserving it. And if you have some history you'd like to share or think you're concerned about or you'd like to preserve, give my husband a call, Bernie Sargent at 915-581-7920. And we also have to remember, you know, there you've got this wonderful page called Remember in El Paso When. I want everybody to hold their hand up in the radio audience who's ever gone to that Facebook
page. On Facebook, yes.
Yes, everybody stand there with their hand up
honk
in the air.
Honk your horn. No, don't do that.
It's what? Okay, and we have to let the wonderful lady know, Barbara Given Bainey, who is the leader of that crowd.
Well, thank you for putting us on her thing. We'll put her on our thing.
Yes, and she does wonderful things with their history pictures and so much more out there. And, you know, when you're using the photos or information off that, please be courteous and credit. Remember in El Paso When. And who's some of the other people?
They have a whole bunch of admins working there with them, and one is Ken Weiss. And they get that keep remembering El Paso when keep going. All right, back to the history of the Alamogordo Tularosa area. We got the guys in here that have been chomping at the bits during the news to talk about stuff.
Chomp, chomp.
Tommy Harrell, Joe Lewandowski. Joe, Tommy, where do you guys want to go with this?
Well, basically, what we come down to really promote and so forth, we've got a Founders Day celebration coming up next Saturday on June the 8th from 10 to 2 at Alameda Park Zoo. And so basically this was kind of an idea that we come up with. Founders Day was in 1898, and so the first plat was filed on June the 6th, 1898, and the first lot sold. So we're tying in conjunction with the city of Alamogordo and the historical museum as kind of a birthday celebration for the foundation of Alamogordo.
Absolutely.
And so we're trying to get the word out and here again encourage people to learn a little bit of history about Alamogordo and how it was formed, who the players were, and what was going on at the time of the birth of Alamogordo back in the 1898s. And, And so it's a fun time to come out and learn some history and have a good time at the same time.
I'm ready. Where do I go? What time? What day?
Well, it's June the 8th, and the program starts at 10, and we have some raffle tickets that we're selling. But some of the functions that are going on during the program is that we're going to have youth groups to perform. We're going to have free lawn games and activities, face painting and jumping balloons, food vendors, museum exhibits, an old-fashioned cakewalk. We're going to have a stick horse contest race for little kids and so forth, watermelon eating contest or watermelon seed spitting contest. We haven't decided which we'll do yet.
You don't want to eat too much of that stuff. Well, spitting the seeds is another matter.
Yeah, but a pie-eating contest. It's just a good time for people to come out and learn a little bit about Alamogordo, and it'll be there.
You'll take an El Paso guy or two. They want to show up, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, it's free to the public, so they can come
in. Oh, then we can afford that.
Well, that's it. But we are selling tickets, raffle tickets. So the museum is actually raising money this way, and our grand prize is a cow elk permit.
A what?
Private cow elk permit. This is a private drawing.
A female elk.
Female.
You going to go shoot them?
Well, certainly.
Well, you're not going to go out and pet it.
Is there an option? Could you have an Atari game as an option? No.
Well, no, we can't do that. But we do have an option. We've got a $2,000 first prize money, and then two $500 prizes. And then
cash?
Cash. And then three $250.
Ooh, I'm in. There we go.
So,
I'm in.
Anyway, tickets are $20 a piece. And then also, you get something of value. You become a member of the Historical Society. It's a $25
value. You sneak up on them. You want their email. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
We want their membership. We want their membership into our association, and this is a way to grow our membership. And hopefully that we hope to do this at an annual event starting this year and be something that we will work toward and enlarge and encourage in the future.
That guy talking is Tommy Harrell, by the way.
Right.
And walk into a museum, he's usually standing there.
Well,
I'm standing there.
I spend a little time there. I don't spend as much time as my wife and Deb do down there. They're there constantly. So,
and y'all sitting there, you're being a good audience over here. You guys have anything you want to throw at this? Or you had it with us? You're doing good. These guys talk all the time anyway. That's cool. Well, so, Joe Lewandowski is the other guy, Tommy Harrell. And you guys, I love what you're doing with this museum in Alamogordo.
Well, we're just trying to encourage. It actually belongs to the people of Alamogordo
in
the Tularosa Basin. And so it's their museum. We're just the curators of the museum, taking care of it, trying to promote it and grow the museum.
It's your fault if it goes right.
Well, if it goes, and also.
No, it's illegal. It's not going to go bad. It's going to go right. But, so, but this is the plaza building in the middle of Alamogordo that was on the main street. I mean, the main, what is that White Sands Boulevard?
White Sands Boulevard, it was the old original Pennsylvania Avenue Boulevard, and Joe's going to get into the naming some of the
city
streets.
That's right. You guys are a northeastern group of Americans as opposed to a southwestern group of Americans founded this little Alamogordo.
Exactly. So I'm going to let Joe take it from here and maybe explain a little bit how Alamogordo was formed and who formed it and how it came about.
Why was it named New York Street, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, basically, we have four main communities there in Otero County: Cloudcroft, Tularosa, La Luz, Alamogordo. Tularosa, La Luz, of course, the oldest. And those were Hispanic towns, villages that were set up and came about from 1860s. Tularosa was formed from individuals that came over from the Socorro area.
In 1719, you said?
No, 1860. La Luz, the church was built in 1719 by the Spanish.
That's the one on number.
That entrance, and that's pretty much all they did. They didn't really build a community. Then La Luz.
They didn't park a padre there and then gather some Indians and all that kind of thing.
It was more of a way station type thing. So again, it's a pass when you go through Fresno Canyon up through the mountains. It's the easy way through.
Which one's Fresno Canyon?
Fresno Canyon breaks off of La Luz Canyon. You wouldn't see it unless you went through La Luz and cut up through there.
Okay.
The road going up 82 to Cloudcroft wasn't a road there.
Right.
There was an old road that went there, a very hazardous road that went up, but the tunnel wasn't there in those days. That
well, the tunnel important. Was for the road, but not for the railroad. I always thought it was for the railroad.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people think that. No, the railroad actually went up through La Luz, up to La Placida Canyon, into Fresno Canyon, up through the back way at the high rolls and up through there.
Well, that's basically how Cloudcroft became a city, was because they needed to go up there and get the wood, right?
Well, it was the lumber. It was a big chunk of it. And then the other thing was the same thing it is today, is the Texans headed up there to get out of the heat. And locals, too, but it was also a big tourist thing.
Well, the baby sanatorium from El Paso, they put it up there because the altitude and the coolness, they'd save the children during the summer. That was the big deal.
Right, that was that up there,
I guess,
too.
It worked there, whatever.
Yeah, and so it was a multi, pretty much what it is today as far as the tourists going up to get into the cool weather. Then, but we don't have the lumber coming out there like.
Well, if you don't have a train, you're not having as much fun.
Oh no, no, it was quite exciting.
Is there any way to put that train back?
No.
No,
it wasn't a easy ride up anyway. Because,
well, that trestle is really messed up. You'd have to do something.
Well, that's only one
that.
Trestle, actually. You know, everybody thinks that's the only. There was actually 29 trestles.
Oh my goodness!
That's actually the tallest trestle, but there was actually longer trestles. The S curve one was even longer than that.
You're not putting that track back.
Oh, none of that's going back. No, in fact, if you notice the trestle that's up there, they've removed the ends because people used to always wander out into the center.
It's going to fall over one of these days.
No, it's pretty well preserved. The states, they've taken care of it to make sure it doesn't, but they've removed the ends to keep adventurers from,
yeah, from getting
out.
Into
no more
it.
Tourists out on there. Well, okay, so tell us more things about the area when you and your museum, because I think it's fascinating that people need to know what you've got.
Yeah, well, the museum itself, it kind of brings in all aspects of the history of the basin itself. A lot of people think it's Alamogordo's museum, but it's not. It's actually it covers all areas of it from the back in the ancient times all the way through, you know, when Tularosa, La Luz, Cloudcroft, Alamogordo came about, but also Holloman Air Force Base, which is not very old itself. It originally is Alamogordo Army Airfield in 1942 is when it was formed for World War II.
Was there a bombing range out there?
There was a bombing range. It had like four different names under Alamogordo, and then 1948 it became Holloman Air Force Base. But it was controversial too because basically that and also the Army took a lot of this acreage out here, the ranchers that were out there. They made a deal with them that we need to borrow your property while we...
Forever.
Well,
They didn't tell them that it
they
started.
Didn't tell them that.
No, they didn't explain that part.
They said, well, we need it for that. And, of course, the ranchers were patriotic and said, yeah, whatever it takes for the war.
Except the Prathers.
Well, that was later. A little later. That was later. They were still trying to push. And so they did that, and they moved out. And then when the war was over, they said, well, we're going to go back. And the military says, well, we've changed our mind. We're going to go ahead.
We got these big rockets we're working with now, yeah, and they're going to land on your house, so you have to leave.
And growing up there, I'd always heard the stories about that. I always thought it was like 10 or 12 families, but it wasn't. It was over 108 ranchers,
yeah,
that were displaced.
They displaced a lot of people out there, nobody living here in the desert. There was a lot of them.
And you'll see that if you could fly over, which you better not.
Because, no. You get shot down.
Yeah, there's plenty of the ranchers. Houses and everything else, and we have an exhibit on that showing where all those places were and all that went on. And the Prathers that you're talking about, one of the last holdouts, but it didn't happen the way it shows in the movie. The grandson of Prather is one of the members on our board, and there's a movie, Fire on the Mountain, with Ron Howard and Buddy Ebsen.
Yeah, okay,
it's related to Prather, but it didn't happen the way it shows in the movie.
But it but
never does.
Ranchers
never
were kind of removed from their property without their permission. In a lot of cases.
No, they all signed and left. They got leases for the property. It was the issue of them being able to go back after the fact. And, in fact, it went into where the government actually had appraised and paid them what the value of the land was. In fact, the fight for the improvements, they never got paid for that until 1978.
And so, okay, do you have an exhibit on this in the museum?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, this is cool. You need to go in there and see what's going on. Do you have Oliver Lee figured out in the museum?
Oh, yeah. And, well, that 1978, the government did pay them for the improvements, but what their value was in 1940.
Oh.
So kind of a slap in the face.
But, and if you don't want to sell, that's tough.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another thing that happened when the missile range decided to take over all that property was the fact that they took over a battlefield, the Embry-O Basin battlefield. That's not in your neck of the woods. It's over on the other side of, yeah, White Sands. But that made a pristine battlefield become completely untouched. And when they finally went out there to look it over, they figured the whole thing out. The entire battle, I mean, Carl Lombard did that.
Yeah, that actually came, they entered from the Tularosa Basin, though. When it came out from this side, the Buffalo Soldiers and the Apaches and Victoria, all that, they actually came through the Tularosa Basin to come through the pass over into that.
Yeah, there were like three columns of Buffalo Soldiers, and one of them missed by 12 hours, so the guy said, Victorio got away.
Oh, yeah.
So I go, I can take a break here. This is kind of fun to talk about. Yeah. All kinds of stuff. And we got to get more into the military history. Like the Battle of Round Mountain. What the heck was that? I mean, do you know that one? Not now, but in a minute, right?
Went round the mountain.
Wait, Tom, do you know that one?
Well, yeah. A little bit about it. Oh, so.
We'll get to that in a second here because we got to give away some stuff.
Oh, we do.
This is giveaway stuff time. Are you ready?
Yes, I think.
I think
I had to change my first one.
Well, nobody knows.
Because I listened
nobody
to you first one. I wrote it on what you told me yesterday.
Nobody knows that.
You lied to me. No.
See, this is irrelevant. All of that's irrelevant.
No.
What are the questions?
Okay, question number one for the trivia contest to win $20 in food coupons from Pepe's in New Mexico.
Turn them off over here. They're having their own radio show.
They're having their own little party over there. So, let's see. Okay, why was Okay. Why was the La Luz pottery kilns and property donated to the museum by Ray Graham?
Why?
Why was that property donated, the property and the kilns donated to the museum?
So are you going to make up an answer?
I have the answer.
Oh, okay.
We said the answer to it.
Okay.
So if everybody was listening.
Any more questions?
And the second one is, when did the Atari company, the company Atari Incorporated, bury all those video games and video systems in the desert near Alamogordo? What year was it?
You just want to know the year.
Just want to know the year.
It's back when?
It was way back when.
And you want to know that.
And I want to know that.
And if they answer that by calling us on the phone, they get what?
Yeah, and it was an easy answer to find. You can call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PROUD to 79645. That's P-R-O-U-D to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's Program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PROUD to 79645. That's P-R-O-U-D to 79645.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word SPUNK to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text SPUNK to 797979. Text SPUNK to 797979.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-444-9336. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-444-9336. That's 800-444-9336. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-444-9336.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got a lot of callers calling in here about trivia. Melissa, you got them. You stirred them up.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
So here they come. I can tell you first, however, that on June the 8th, next week, we have our guest, Leo Duran. And Leo, you know who Leo is?
Yes, I do. I know him well.
Owner of the famous restaurant by the graveyard, L&J Cafe. He is the president of the Texas Restaurant Association, or past president, maybe. And we'll talk about the history of some other El Paso restaurants. June 15th, we're going to hear about the Dudley Dome with Jim Paul. He's now with Hospice El Paso. However, he was a baseball king when the Kings were kings here in El Paso. And so he'll be in on June 15. July 22nd, repeat. We're going to put Larry Francis in the chair again. He was here a while ago, but we got him recorded, so we'll put him back on the air that day.
I got more comments about his show. Still getting comments.
Same here. We get people still on Facebook. So he'll be back on the air. On June 29th, Chris Orwall, Division Director of the Mexico Museum of Space History. He's always fun to have. Anyway.
Yes.
And you got something good?
Yes. Could your child or grandchild be a budding Indiana Jones? Or you could just want them to... Or you just want to get them out of the house and doing something other than staring at the TV or computer games, well, they can experience a different kind of summer this year at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. And the museum will be offering 4 weeks of summer camps during the month of June for kids 7 to 12. And they can learn about the world of archaeology and discover new cultures and all kinds of different programs there. Each camp runs from Tuesday to Fridays, and they have an optional free Saturday field trip to Waco Tanks. And each participant receives a museum tote bag and hot chocolate. Chocolate mug. So give them a call out there. There it is, 915-212-0421 to enroll your child.
Your first contestant, Miss Melissa, is a woman named Andrea. You ready?
Andrea. Hello, Andrea.
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Hi. Okay, you ready to answer the first question or the second question?
I'd like to answer the second question.
Okay, when did Atari Incorporated bury those video games out there in the desert?
It was in 1983.
See?
Bingo.
She's a smart lady.
Wait, are judges say yes?
Yes.
Our judges say yes.
She's a smarty pants.
That's a very good documentary on Amazon about it. It just came out.
Oh, really?
A book?
Yeah. No, it's a movie.
Wasn't the only games that were buried out there. There was the... different, like over 25,000 games, I think it was.
Yeah.
But not just
games, I think units, game units and everything else were buried out there.
Wow. Why can't we go get the rest of them? Yeah, Joe.
Well, she's got it right.
They didn't pick up all of them. There's still some in there.
Yeah, I think your phone's having issues. We're going to turn you over to Shelley to pick up your prize, all right?
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Andrea, for listening.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah, Amazon Prime was the video that she saw it on their station there. That's
Hold
cool.
Hold on there. We got another caller on three. This would be Francis. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning.
Francis, the last question we had was the first one, which might have been a little confusing, but that was one on why was the land that has the La Luz pottery kilns and donated to the museum?
Well, he wanted to preserve the land from being developed, and he wanted, otherwise he would have given it to a county, but he knew that they may not maintain the facility.
This lady knows.
What a smarty you are.
She's been listening.
Are you on the museum board? You know what you're talking about. That's great. No, you got it right. Absolutely. The judges say correct. Well, thank you for playing it. And Shelley,
Francis, you did good.
Hold on, and Shelley will come on the phone and tell you how to pick that up. What's anything else on your mind this morning?
No, just keep up the great show. And I'd say also Larry Francis coming back would be great. He gave a lot of down detailed information, and we look forward to that.
Wouldn't that fun? Well, it'll be a repeat of the original show we did a couple of weeks ago. We just thought that would be a good idea.
All right. You know, that would even be good, too.
Oh,
you
thank you.
It again.
Fair enough.
Have a nice vacation.
All right, Francis, hold on there.
Thanks for listening,
Dr.
Francis.
Shelley, thank you very much. And a lot of information. And Larry Francis was amazing. Obviously. So even old shows are getting requested.
I wonder what he knows about those videos being buried in the desert. Since Atari, it came out of El Paso, he might know something, too.
Well, you know, he was pretty sharp with stuff. I don't know. We can ask him that at some point. But thank you, Melissa, for putting the questions together. That turned out pretty
confusing,
good.
But we got it there.
Well, we managed somehow.
I was just kidding you.
We have to just get through this. And also, we better take a break and come back and talk more. What is our next subject? I mean, we got this museum thing going. We got to take a break first, but give us a headline.
We'll just talk about some of the people and things, occurrences that have happened in the Tularosa Basin. And I can provide you a little more on the Atari, the numbers, actual numbers, and the movie that she's talking about. There actually was a movie done when we did the search and dig.
Oh, and don't forget Round Mountain. I knew about Round Mountain.
And Round Mountain.
At some point, we got to talk about Indians. Okay, fair enough. Taking a break. Melissa Sargent, what is the phone number?
Call us at 915-544-5876 or check us out at El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page, where I will have our lovely guest picture up shortly.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-700-2844. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-700-2844. That's 1-800-700-2844. 1-800-700-2844.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit, 800-771-1300. That's 800-771-1300. 800-771-1300.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, you ready, Melissa?
I is ready.
This week only in El Paso Inc.
Texas lawmakers are done. El Paso's wins and losses during the 86th legislative session.
And what else is going on in El Paso, Inc.? Becoming an American and saving a life. The story of one especially dramatic naturalization ceremony.
Why the El Paso Community Foundation is backing efforts to launch a new local news outlet.
El Paso's business journal is El Paso, Inc. It's available for home or business delivery.
To read El Paso, Inc. and to order your subscription, go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, Joe Moody and legislative sessions, they wrap up. What did and did not happen for El Paso? How was Joe doing in the legislature this year?
Join host Saul Saenz on ABC 7 Extra Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. only on ABC 7 Extra.
What a flair we have there with that music.
Ta-da!
It's exciting.
We're flaring kind
so
of people.
Thank you for
flaring as we get into the universe.
And you're getting pictures put on Facebook.
I am trying here. My phone went some other direction on me this morning.
Well, if that doesn't work and people want to know what these guys look like, they can find them at Pepe's in about an hour.
That's right.
In about an hour, they'll be parked into the Pepe trough. And what was the special again?
red cheese enchiladas.
Right. And they usually comes with beans. And do you know about the coleslaw that has the vinegar taste to it? It's not the cheap stuff that you get over at KFC, but the really old school vinegar
coleslaw.
Mm-hmm. Coleslaw.
My wife fixes it all the time.
That's what Pepe does for a living out there.
Now we know what she's doing part time. She's working at Pepe's.
Oh, you're the one feeding Pepe's. That's the old Griggs recipes, another New Mexico thing.
Right.
So, all right. And we want to welcome everybody in New Mexico listening this morning, because we put this notice on Facebook that we'd be talking about you guys on a New Mexico page.
Oh.
And all of a sudden we bumped up. What was it, Melissa? We had several thousand people. That's what I was looking for, the number on Facebook. How many was it? 6,091 people have been reached on the Facebook
page. And I've got a Twitter page that I'm working on, the El Paso History Radio Show Twitter page. And I tweeted to your newspaper up there and all over the – anybody can find on – it had a Twitter feed up in Alamogordo. So hopefully – and in the regional area. So hopefully that helps feed to it. And it'll get people into your museum. So
People should go to that museum. You take an hour minimum, but an hour on your way.
Well, it's open today from 10 to 4, so they're welcome to come by even today as we talk.
And next Saturday, you're doing a biggie Founders Day at the zoo, you said.
In Alameda Park, which is next to the zoo, just north of the zoo.
Yeah, just across the street from your museum.
Park, too. It's got grass.
Yeah.
And so that's next Saturday.
But next Saturday.
Anybody booking through there, going somewhere, pick an hour and pull off and look out on your way home.
Yeah, because it's not hard to find. I mean, it's on the main drag. I mean, right in the middle of town.
It's across from the School for the Blind, right?
No, it's down the street.
Is it down the street? Okay,
Well, across from the School for the Blind is a little train shop station you got there.
Train depot.
Oh, that's right.
And
that park
is across the street, and the zoo's over there.
That's right.
But this thing moved.
It's farther south.
It used to be across the street, but you moved. Okay, Joe, let's get away from all this stuff. Tell us some details on things.
Basically, I just run through a bunch of fast subjects here. You asked about the Battle of Round Mountain. Yeah, that did happen. But it wasn't. It was a battle that no one got shot. So it was a cavalry patrol that was headed up to Fort Stanton, and 300 Apaches surrounded them, chased them up the hill, the Round Mountain. You'll see it there when you go to Rio Doso. There's a cross on top that the Hispanics from Tularosa, because they chased the soldiers up there, and about 32 Tularosans came charging up the hill. And then the Apaches retreated and went back into the hills.
The 32 people up the hill, they probably had better guns.
Well, I'm not sure what the reasoning was.
I mean, 300 Apaches left. Normally, Apache wouldn't back down, but
they understood the
guns.
They just moved on, and I don't think that it was one of those little incidents that was probably never supposed to happen. It wasn't really planned out.
But it
well.
Got an historic marker we have to talk about.
Oh, yeah, it even had a historic marker. In fact, the village of Tularosa, it was hanging on the wall, but I think they've secured it better now, because it was in the frame. The original was a letter of appreciation and thanking the people of Tularosa, signed by President Ulysses S. Grant.
For saving the soldiers.
For saving the soldiers. So,
cool.
And it's the original with his signature and everything.
I told a friend last week about Round Mountain. They said, I don't know where that is. You been to Rio Doso? Yeah. You know where it is. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was... again, a battle that no one got shot, pretty much. It might have been a wounded person here or there, but I'm not sure. That wasn't that.
But that kind of thing went on a lot. I mean, that's the same pathway that Pat Garrett would take, the same pathway that Billy the Kid would take.
Oh, yeah.
Up into Lincoln County. I mean, that was a major road right there, right?
Well, in fact, talk about Billy the Kid, the Lincoln County wars and all. Alamogordo had nothing to do with that, because it was, wasn't there during the time, but La Luz and Tularosa was. And it was not well known that Billy would hide out, hang out there in La Luz and Tularosa, because the Mexican people there really liked Billy.
They hate him.
And they would hide him, and he would actually go to Juarez and hide out there, and no one ever find him and stuff like that. We have a local, Zeke Castro, that wrote a book on an outlaw called Kid, with two D's on the end. And it's actually making a case that Billy the Kid lived to be 90 years old. He believes Billy never really died, and he goes back to, because his grandmother was one of the ones that helped hide Billy the Kid and knew him, and other family members that knew it, all this.
So who'd they bury?
We don't know. Uh-huh. He doesn't go to what happened up there.
Don't tell me this is not the Brushy Bill story, is it?
That's another one.
That's
a different one. It's interesting to read his book, because if you read all that without all the other pieces,
it could happen.
It sort of makes sense, sort of, but at the same time.
You got a lot of little interesting stories like that. You got another one? I got to ask you about one. Three Rivers, the petroglyph area.
Oh, the petroglyphs, yeah.
Oh, what a fabulous place.
Yeah, that's...
20 miles north of Tularosa, give or take?
Yeah, it's up there, Three Rivers. Again, it was the first Native Americans were all through there. There's over 20,000 drawings on those stones up there.
That's amazing.
And they've researched it. We have people on our board and everything else that are heavily into that, know the whole history of it, but... They all have meetings. They don't know what all the meetings are. They didn't have calendars or iPhones back then to tell the seasons, and the rocks are positioned in certain ways to tell you when it's winter, when it's time to plant, when it's time to different ceremonies. There's all kinds of reasons for that up there. Of course, Alamo Gordo also has Ham, the space chimp. When the first chimp
is he buried there?
He's buried up at the space hall, right? Yeah, in front. There's a plaque there.
Right where you walk in.
Yeah,
right.
We're not focusing on the space hall because we got him coming at the end of the month.
Right, and of course, then Colonel John Stapp, still the fastest man on Earth. Rocket sled guy, 632 miles.
630, and he lived.
Yeah, he lived with his eyes started bleeding. He went blind for a little while.
Have you seen that video, Melissa? It's weird to watch that guy.
I remember that as being a kid. We saw that stuff.
He started out at 200 miles and took 29 different rides until he got up to 632, and he figured that was about the time. Because 632 miles an hour is the same speed, that's faster than a 45 caliber bullet goes. That's how fast 632 miles.
Yeah, but he had to keep picking his eyes up off the floor. At some point, you're going to stop doing this.
At that point, the doctor said you're done, but he had done what he had accomplished.
But they got the sled up there, a piece of that sled up there on the mountain.
Yeah, the sled's up there and all that. A couple little things. We have the 47-star flag, which most people don't know.
Yeah, what is that?
Basically, if you Google, go over there and Google U.S. flags right now, it'll go 46, it'll jump right to 48. You won't see 47 unless you ask for the 47.
So that would have been New Mexico, or
that was one of those things where New Mexico came in February of 1912. In Mexico, they had a bunch of the flags. In fact, the word came from Washington that we were a state. The Congress had approved, the president approved it.
So you started making flags?
No, the flags were already made.
Oh.
And so in Santa Fe, it went up immediately, and all over the state, it went up 47 stars. 3 weeks later, Arizona came in, and they all came back.
And made all your 47-star flags irrelevant.
Yeah, they're relevant. And basically what happened
collector's items.
Very much, because basically in those days, you didn't just throw things away. You just unsewed the stars and resew them back on.
Oh.
So we only know of two in existence. We have one
in the museum,
in our museum, hanging there, and the other one's in the Palace of the Governors in Santa Fe. So there's only two in known existence. We have not found any others. But if for 3 weeks, and it was still didn't become officially the flag. That's why you won't see it when you Google flags. Because
it didn't become official.
No, because of the U.S. flags. When they add states, they may have come in February and March, but until July 4th is when they adopt a new flag.
Oh.
That's part of the tradition. So we never made it to July 4th, so it was a unofficial U.S. flag. Went up for 3 weeks and came back down.
Oh, if you just joining us, we're talking about the Alamo Gordo Museum of History, and your official name is Tularosa Basin. The Historical Society is Tularosa Basin Historical Society, and the official museum, Tommy?
Is Tularosa Basin
Museum
of History.
Do you have a website or...?
We have the Facebook page, and the website itself, we're in the process of redoing. If you go there right now, it'll come up in Chinese.
I saw that. Yeah. I was wondering. I was like, ah.
And it actually was under the City of Alamo Gordo Historical Society, but that's changed. So,
go with the Facebook page for now.
And eventually we'll have our new website.
Stuff going on up there. You've got more nooks and crannies than we've talked about. Yes,
I want to point out TripAdvisor and a couple of travel sites give you guys almost a 5-star rating, which is pretty doggone good for museums. I mean, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah. In fact, it was funny. I was by accident saw that. So I thought, I wonder what all the others in the southwest area were doing. And we rated like a 97% or something. And I won't get into all the other museums, but no one came close to us.
Registered with TripAdvisor?
No,
you need to get registered because they'll give you the certificates, and they put you you'll get even more information, and it'll direct emails and everything to you.
Yeah, I was amazed. I was surprised. But the comments we get, it doesn't surprise us, because it's not a normal, just old stuff on a shelf museum, as you said. When you walk through, the Lalu's pottery is not just a glass case with pottery on it. We actually built an adobe house inside with the Spanish tiles on top. The doors in it are the actual doors from the Lalu's pottery. So when you look through the doors and the windows into this little house, you're seeing the pottery and stuff like that.
Creative display.
Yeah.
Well, you have other areas around Alamo Gordo that we haven't talked about, like Dog Canyon. Now, that people got killed in that.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of people have no idea. They just see Dog Canyon. They have no idea about that whatsoever.
But the historical markers should lead you there if you're interested. I mean, that's got one.
Yeah, Dog Canyon has history with the Apaches and the U.S. Cavalry. There were battles and fights there.
Oh, yes.
Because the Apaches used Dog Canyon as an escape route because they had the winding little trails that went back through there. And that you couldn't chase them in there because, you know, as you go around the trails, there were so many ambush points that once they went in there, you didn't dare follow them.
No, they throw rocks and kill you and your horse.
You wouldn't come out.
Yeah, and, you'd be impermanent.
And then Oliver Lee ended up with that area, and he, for the same reason, they actually he used it for a few times escaping and going around and out of there and stuff like that. Because Oliver Lee has his own history of that place when I was a kid. That, the old ranch was a hangout for teenagers, and now it's a state park. They restored it and all that.
And what about the tunnel in the basement? You like that?
The what? Oh,
the,
yeah.
The tunnel under the house?
Yeah, well, he had to have somebody.
Escape. He had another escape path.
Well, it was different factions that were going after each other and so on, because his whole story is did a lot of good for the area, but at the same time, he has a lot of shady history, too.
Oh, yeah, the whole fountain story? I mean, that's laid at his doorstep, isn't it?
Yeah, a fountain was involved with that. They assume he did that. Actually, he was thought of the three different murders, but it never proved any of them.
We're talking about Henry Fountain, the kid, and then Daddy was the lawyer, judge.
Judge Fountain.
And they were coming back from Lincoln County, and the guy took his kid thinking nobody would bother shooting his kid. Well, they sure did.
Yeah, in those days, you know, in fact, he knew that. That's why he took his 6-year-old kid, actually. He took him with him to up to Lincoln to pick up some warrants, 23 warrants for the ranchers.
On the way back, the ranchers found him. And maybe.
Well, he had been warned that he was being shadowed, because at the edge of White Sands there actually used to be way stations and other things, and he was going that same path, almost the same path you see the road going to Las Cruces from Alador now. About the base of the mountain, the Sandias, before going up, that's when he disappeared. And they found the buckboard horses later, and they never found him or his son.
And the tracks happened to be mysteriously gone by some cattle rancher running cattle through the tracks.
Exactly. The cattle.
I heard this one.
Herd was ran through the area to displace the sand that you. Yeah, again, Atari was easy. That's not going to be too easy.
No. You find Henry Fountain, you found something. And that would be something to find.
And that was all back to, the, believe it or not, it was still, Fountain was from that Republican side, and Oliver Lee and A.B. Falls were from the Democratic side, and they, all that kind of thing was even going on back then. And,
you mean there were politics involved?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. Well, Almagora is you're susceptible to politics, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the big thing that people should know if you had one thing to tell somebody about your museum? I mean, we haven't even touched on the space history, because that's kind of up the mountain, right?
That's up there. We don't compete with that. We do have information there. We have things that they may not have. We have a lot of military history items that are there that they don't cover. As far as the museum itself, is what I talk to a lot of people about, is our museum is geared towards the common person. You know, my time in the military and everything else, I traveled a bit around the world, a lot of museums. In fact, I joke with people, George Washington never slept here, but this is far more interesting. because these are people that came out here with nothing. You got to remember, it was just desert, and they took on a very harsh area. They built and survived and everything that went on out here.
And you mentioned many of the founders of Alamogordo were from the Northeast United States. And brought the name, named the streets New York and what else along?
Well, Almagora, yeah, again, when you go to the communities there, Tularosa and La Luz are old Hispanic towns.
Right.
You'll see the adobe, you'll see the signs of that, the plazas and so on. Almagora wasn't. Almagora was really a northeastern or midwest type town.
It's a railroad
transported into the southwest.
But it was a railroad that made it happen.
The railroad and the Forest Service, the lumber and all that. Because, yeah. I mean, look around El Paso, all these places that were built here. How many trees did you all have?
Four.
Yeah, pretty much.
And they were gone immediately.
Yeah, and so you had to come ask for some. Yeah, a few of our trees.
Yeah, Pancho Villa took a ride on that train at one point, supposedly.
And Eddie's was basically building a shortcut, is what it was, because when Otero came down for the commemoration of Otero County, he actually had to come all the way down through the Rio Grande Valley to El Paso and then go back up to Otero. So that's why the Eddies were building this railroad, which is all the way through now, a shortcut to get up towards Santa Rosa. Instead of having to go all the way around to Albuquerque, that was their plan, and that's where they started building that railroad that direction.
And nobody in Three Rivers wanted a railroad, so that town went nowhere.
Now, actually, that was White Oaks. White Oaks.
Oh, I'm sorry, White Oaks.
Three Rivers had a stop. Tularosa didn't want the railroad going through town, so the depot was actually outside of town, west side of town. White Oaks was the one that they figured, well, they need our water because there's no good water up here. And so they need our water. So the founding fathers of White Oak said, you're going to have to pay for the land. Railroad said, to heck with you. They went down, built Carrizozo, and brought water down from Bonita, started the Bonita Lake, and brought the water.
Don't mess with the railroads.
Yeah. And so
they're right next to God, I think, in power.
And more so, I think, sometimes.
And more ruthless.
Yeah. White Oaks was one of the bigger cities in the southern part of New Mexico, and it turned into a ghost town because the railroad decided to go the other direction.
But we still like their petroglyphs.
And a funny story on the locomotives of that time, they wanted the good water, they thought, but once they finally got the good water, the boilers started leaking all over the place.
Because
the rust of the holes. But when they put the bad water back in, the caliche and everything, alkali actually sealed up the holes. And so
the junk in the water.
They actually wanted the bad water.
Sealed the steam engine.
Because when they started using that clean water, everything started leaking.
Water's king out there, whether you're a railroad or somebody wants to drink something. Taking a break here one more time here, Melissa.
One more time.
Do
yes, we shall
do it. We'll take a phone call, won't we?
I think so.
Stir one up.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 150 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll learn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text SCHOOL to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 87% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, text SCHOOL to 35517. That's SCHOOL to 35517.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/play. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/play. That's forhims.com/play for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/play.
Looking to buy a car? Online shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for the car you want and see what other people paid for it too. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Each year, more than 5,000 young people aged 15 to 24 die by suicide. 600,000 more make an attempt that requires medical attention. Let that sink in. In spite of the magnitude of the problem, stigma and shame keep these young people from reaching out for help. This year, let's start the conversation. Go to iHeartRadio.com/talk for tips. This has been brought to you by the Child Mind Institute and iHeartRadio.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got a lot going on here. We have Art back on the phone, and we have Melissa. You have something to talk about with the movies.
Well, the Sunset Film Society invites you to come over to watch movies with them Saturday afternoons. Excuse me. At the International Museum of Art with Jay Duncan, film historian, at 2 p.m. for insightful commentary, anecdotes, and facts behind the films. Freshly popped theater popcorn and beverages and candy are available. And this week's film is American Graffiti. That's this afternoon at 2 p.m. And this is like the beginning of the coming of age movies. I mean, American Graffiti was one for me. I really, personally, that's a good one for me. And, you know, come back and Jay will share some great stories behind it, because many movie stars and TV stars came out of that movie that we all know today. So, you know, I can think of five of them off the top of my head. So it's a great thing. Go out there and, come out. He's got great information.
But the International Museum of Art is a place to behold unto itself. They call it the People's Museum, and they're correct. They've got all kinds of interesting stuff in there that other museums around here locally do not have.
Have you guys ever been to the International Museum of Art? Oh, my God, you got to go
sometime.
There's
a Mexican Revolution exhibit down in the basement. There's a doll collection that'll freak you right out. And then that's just the extra stuff.
And the building itself, it was a home at one time, and it is gorgeous to go into. And they've got a wonderful art exhibit. Like, they got everything in there.
All right, we have a caller here. Let's talk to Art. Art, you're back. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say about 30 years ago, me and some guys from Corpus Christi Catholic Church drove up to Clark Cross, and there was a sawmill down there. They had some huge saws down there, and we brought back some beams and built a gazebo bigger than the Messiah Park gazebo.
And, good for you.
Yeah, and right now, you know, if anybody wants to see it, it's a huge gazebo, and it's at the Corpus Christi Catholic Church on North Loop in Zaragoza, and we have our annual bazaar there, so come on down and look at the gazebo and have some gorditas.
Well, thank you for the notice. We'll see you in the streets. Appreciate your call. We got to take one last thought here on as the Alamogordo people exit and go to Pepe's, because we're all going to go out there to Pepe's and have lunch today. And Melissa and Bernie's going to make it.
Yes,
Mr. Bernard, the star of ABC 7.
Mr. Star.
Wednesday night, 5 and 6 p.m. He'll be on TV. Founders Day next week.
Well, I just want to remind all your listeners and so forth, they're certainly welcome to come up to Alamogordo next weekend, next Saturday, June the 8th, which is from 10 to 2. It's a free event to anybody that wants to come and participate. It's in Alameda Park, which was part of the old original park of Alamogordo and the plan for the layout of Alamogordo. And so it was one of the few places that they had actual water park, in an old-timey water park, and had ducks and geese and so forth, but it was a green area for the citizens of Alamogordo was originally planned and built by the Eddy brothers, the founders of Alamogordo.
So that's in that park.
That's in our park.
Next Saturday.
So come up and enjoy the festivities and invite anybody that wants to come up and participate.
But the museum is on the main intersection.
You've got to go by the museum to get to the park. So
you've got to go by the museum to get anywhere in Alamogordo, pretty much.
So that's exactly.
It's the major downtown intersection for me.
There's a larger traffic count at that corner than any place in Alamogordo. So
I would think you're right.
Exactly.
And so take a look at the museum when you get a moment driving to or from somewhere else. Put Alamogordo on your stop list, and a minimum 1 hour. And that'll let you know how many hours you need to take the next time you come back. Right, Deb?
Exactly.
I would think that's the way that should go. Melissa, should we get out of here?
I think we should get out of here and go up to Pepe's and everybody can join us.
Thank you for the control room in there. We do appreciate it. EPHistory.com for things you might want to know about the radio show. They're online. A bunch of videos online there, too, as well as that. And gentlemen and ladies, thank you for coming in here. We'll see you guys at Pepe's. Everybody else, we'll see you next week right here.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive.
Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Jeffries.
Four people who were wounded in the Virginia Beach shooting rampage are fighting for their lives in the hospital today. At a news briefing this morning, City Manager Dave Hansen said the city is mourning the deaths of 12 others.
Incomprehensible act of violence. So today, we all grieve. They leave a void that we will never be able to fill.
Police identified the gunman as 40-year-old Dwayne Cranick and described him as a disgruntled employee who opened fire yesterday in a city building where he had worked for several years. Cranick reportedly went floor to floor in the three-story